Every Show, brought to you by XM Satellite Radio. XM Satellite Radio is here and it's available at your local electronics stores. 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Hendry.
So my wife took my daughter to the beach this past weekend for a school function. My daughter is 10. And she went down there to be with other classmates as part of a field trip. And you're familiar with field trips. You go, the kids spend the night somewhere, or they go someplace interesting, and they learn about whatever it is that they're going to go see. So this field trip involved the participation of some parents, some of which would stay with the kids themselves, and others who would be sort of off-site staying at a hotel. And my wife was one of the parents staying off-site at a hotel. And the kids would be over doing their thing. And the children were spending the night at this function or at this particular place. And then the mothers got together and stayed at a hotel. So word gets out. I guess somebody sent a little email or something around saying, hey, all you moms, we're going to have a happy hour. And we'll have a bottle of wine and we'll get together. And the moms will get together because the dads were over and they were staying with the kids and the moms are doing this thing at the hotel. So it was a little sheet and said, hey, all you moms, you want to get together and let's have a happy hour. Let's have a bottle of wine. And you know, we'll sit and we'll chat as only women can. You know, women, thank God, the other night we had some friends over and the women got together in the living room. And thank God a couple of the husbands came so I could go outside and talk about war and, you know, the way a concussive grenade affects the human body when it goes off. Fun things, things you can bond over. In fact, there's a friend of mine, actually it's a friend of my wife's, her husband, the guy's in the defense business and has worked in the intelligence community. It was a lot of fun just talking to him about things like, oh, I don't know, you know, the way what happens to the human body when you inject air into the bloodstream, all kinds of stuff. So anyway, pretty sick crap. Now, but this has got nothing to do with that. The women weren't sitting around talking about that. Women, when they have their bottle of white wine, don't. So anyway, let's talk about embolisms and how you can induce them. No, they were talking about whatever the hell they were talking about, but the word got back that they were planning this happy hour. The word got back to the school. So the next thing you know, there's another flyer, and it says from the school saying, we do not approve, and you must understand that this is a school event, and there we do not approve of any planned happy hours. And you will cease and desist for, they didn't say you had to, but they just basically said, you can't do this, this ain't cool. Well, I'd like to report now that the happy hour happened anyway. And the women got together last night and they had their white wine and cheese fingers or cheese cubes on crackers or whatever they did. It was kind of interesting because when we got this thing, I don't know where you fall down on this question of schools and how they affect your, you know, the life of the kid, you understand, but how far can they reach into your own life and whether this is something that you have to deal with in your life, I don't know. It seems to be something that comes up in our life a lot. Every now and again, somebody from a school someplace is telling us how to live our lives. You know, well, I can understand how you can be concerned with the kids, and I certainly understand if it's an official school thing going on the site where the thing is happening, but these are like adults who are someplace else. They're at a hotel, and they're not anywhere near the kids, and they're not involved in what the kids are involved in. They're getting together. I don't know. It's like, you know, it's like if they would have got together at our house. You know, even an airline pilot can have a drink 12 hours before he flies a plane. So if a couple of parents are getting together and having a glass of wine 12, 13, 14 hours before they got to pick their kids up from this school function, I ask you, you know, does it matter? I got kind of upset when I read this, and then I thought, forget it. Let them do whatever they're going to do. As a matter of fact, I knew it was going to take place regardless because all these people go down there, and they ask each other, where are you staying? And everybody finds out where everybody's staying. And the next thing you know, somebody's going to be walking into a hotel room and saying, oh, this is really kind of a nice room. Do you want to see our room? Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, by the way, look at the minibar. Hey, look at what's in here. If I have a drink, does that mean I'm violating this email that got passed around? I don't know. So I just wanted you to, because I didn't approve, personally. I want the school administration to know it wasn't my idea. My wife took part in it, and I think you should, you know, do something like have my wife kicked out of the school. Not the kid. Just don't let Maria on campus anymore. I'm letting you know now because I don't, you know, I don't want to be a part of anything bad. I know I'm a tattletale, but that's tough. I'm a good guy. I wasn't there. It was my wife and those other mothers. They did it. Me, I was nowhere around there. They did it. So it was really kind of fun because this field trip that the kids went on had to do with I guess they were learning about nautical things. They were learning about ships, and they were learning about the old sailing ships and this kind of thing. And the coolest part of this was that they were making the kids get up in the middle of the night and stand a watch, and then they served them gruel and porridge and all stuff that a kid would hate. So I was excited to hear how it went this morning. I got on the phone with my daughter. So, did you hate it?
No.
Come on, you hated it, didn't you?
It was fun.
Yeah, fun. Apparently they gave the kids crap and everything and made them stay up late. And then when they got them up like this, there wasn't any kind of, you know, okay, it's time to get up. Apparently these guys walked in there and said, you know, just like you would on an old sailing ship, get up or something, I don't know, screamed. Half of them cried. It's my kind of a field trip. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Hendry Show. Everybody says today is tax day, but I don't care. And you ain't going to hear any tax bits today. In fact, my feeling is this after so many April 15ths, in the 28 years that I've been in the radio business, did you do your taxes? You didn't? Gee, I'm real sorry to hear that. I don't really care one way or the other, man, about the tax man anymore. And you know what? It's April 15. If you got them in on time, great. If you didn't, there's this thing called an extension. Are you standing in line waiting to put your stuff in the mailbox at midnight? Is today the 15th? At midnight, everybody's going to be standing around the block waiting to get their stuff in. Why don't you get an extension? Why don't you get an extension? You are getting an extension. Get a freaking extension, man. Oh, I understand if you owe money, then it's going to be compounded, but don't owe any money. Don't owe any money and get an extension, and you'll be solid. But you're never going to get away from, man. Every April 15th comes around, you got to pay your stinking taxes. As long as I've been alive, people have been complaining about the taxes that they got to pay. Nobody ever does anything about it because nobody's been able to find a way to get anything going without taxes. So we got them. They're here. They're staying. Get your freaking taxes done. 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget the Phil Hendry Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. Available now on our website, philhendryshow.com. Just go to philhendryshow.com. Pick up that bowling shirt. This is the most unique thing that you're going to put on your, for the spring fashion season, this will be the most unique thing you could slap on. Wander the streets, go to the beach, go bowling. It's the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt available only on the Phil Hendry Show website. And while you're there, get your backstage pass. Phil Hendry Show will be back in a second.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So they got another videotape here from the Al-Qaeda, I guess, Al Jazeera, which sounds like a guy that plays bass, you know, for Buddy Miles or something. Al Jazeera on bass and Jack Bruce on lead guitar. They sent out this tape of a guy who, I guess he was one of the hijackers on Flight 93. If you recall, Flight 93 was the one that was rejacked by the American passengers. Flight 93 was the one, effectively, that was commandeered by the hijackers, and then the hijackers got their asses kicked, and whatever it was they had in store for the rest of us didn't take place because of the bravery of those people on that plane. The guy who released this videotape was on that plane. And he says, and I quote, We wanted to send the message written in the color of blood. The essence of the message is that the time of bondage and humiliation is over, and the time has come to kill the Americans at home and penetrate their forces and their intelligence. We killed them away from their home, and today we will kill them on their soil. I wonder how he felt, probably like the world's biggest schmuck, when he realized that he wasn't going to do nothing but dirt nap in a cornfield in Pennsylvania. I wonder how he felt when basically he got neutralized by a tray full of plates. He wanted to be a martyr. What happened was he took like a coffee pot across the face. That was the end of his story. Then the rest of these guys probably took a couple of dishes off their heads. And the next thing you know, they're dirt napping down there in the Pennsylvania Dutch country. So, okay. I guess that was a big martyr shot you got there, pal. Taking it straight into a cornfield someplace. By the time that plane crashed, I doubt very much if any of those hijackers were conscious. I think the rest of the, like I say, those brave souls on that plane took care of these guys real good. See, this big talk that these guys come up with, the Al-Qaeda and the Arafats, it just gets a little wearying, doesn't it, after a while? Don't you wish they'd come up with something better than what they're coming up with? I mean, I said it last week, I'll say it again. Let's get it on. Let's go. I'm all ready for it. If you guys got something you want to do, something big, I suggest you do it, because there's going to be no peace treaty. There's going to be any peace. There's no peace that's going to happen between Israel and Palestine. Forget it. That is not going to happen. Sometimes war, look, I don't want to be the bearer of bad tidings. I certainly don't want to start your day off with a bummer here, but oh, why not? Hey, it's tax day, okay? Sometimes war is the answer. Sometimes it's the answer. Here's this word again that they like to use over there. I don't know what it is with the Arabs, but they got this word, humiliation, and what's the other one that they use? Arrogance. They don't like our arrogance, and they don't like humiliation. And they don't like the humiliation, and they don't like the arrogance. There's a whole thing about them being bent over a barrel and turned into somebody's jail bitch that just kind of bothers them. Well, if the shoe fits... You see what I'm saying? In other words, I'm not using any of these sort of placating terms that a lot of people want to use. Everybody wants to talk, well, I wonder how we can work this thing out. I wonder how we can, is there something we can do, something we can say? Can we bring the two sides together? Well, the answer to that question is no, you can't bring the two sides together. No, you can't. Do you understand? Finally, there is no bringing the two sides together. They want to know if America's got... Look, apparently I've been hearing it all weekend. America's the biggest shot that the world's got for bringing peace to the Middle East. I've been hearing that all weekend long, that Powell is the guy, Bush is the guy, and America has the team to get this done. Well, so far, ain't nothing happening. I mean, these guys haven't said anything new. They still want to kill each other. They still want to see each other's blood run in the streets. They still want to see Israel destroyed. They still want to see this Armageddon take place. So bring Powell home, and let's get it on. I mean, I hate to be a bummer, but are you putting me on? Or well, how much more of this stuff do you want to hear? How much more of this do you want to listen to? How much more of this do you want to see on TV? They hate each other's living guts. Israel ain't going to do anything other than do what they're doing until they feel that they got the whole thing neutralized, which probably won't be forever because, you know, wherever there's one Palestinian suicide, homicide, fratricide, matricide bomber, there's probably 50 of them. So they'll just keep making them. And by the way, I heard Mrs. Arafat say that if she had a son, she'd be proud to have him strap on a bomb. Well, she doesn't have a son, but apparently she's got a daughter. And there are a few other daughters strapping those bombs on. So, Mrs. Arafat, have at it, baby. Put one on your kid and send her on over. Be the first one on your block. Strap one on that kid. Or has she got, is she going to school? Has she got something else she needs to do? Oh, I see. Okay. Just leave it to the poor kids, and your daughter can keep going to Columbia or wherever it is she's going. There's not going to be any peace over there. Now, I'm not trying to be a drag, but there just isn't, okay? There's going to be a war. It's already started. What am I saying? There's going to be. It's already started. It's just a matter of how big it's going to get. Who is it going to encompass? What countries are going to actually get boots on the ground and be actively involved in this thing? And who's going to be actually supplying the guns? And I love the way the French are weighing in and the Germans are weighing in. And, of course, all across Europe, it's nothing but anti-Israel, anti-Jewish sentiment, as if that's anything new. That was the place that butchered up 6 million of them in the first place. I love to hear the Germans weighing in on this one. Well, we think that the Israelis are doing the wrong thing. Why don't you guys just shut up? I like to hear the Germans and the French weighing in on this. That does about as much good, man, as a G-string in a freaking blizzard. Why don't you guys just back it off, shut up, and let some people weigh in that maybe know a little bit of what they're talking about? Maybe starting with us, starting with the British. I don't know, any of those towel heads down there want to start talking some sense. We'd be happy to listen, but I doubt it's going to happen. In fact, I got money right now says it ain't going to happen. This thing is not going to get chilled out. It's going to continue, it's going to get bigger, and it's going to involve other Arab countries, and we're going to have to go down there, and sooner or later, and it just depends on what we're working with here in terms of balls, sooner or later, we're going to have to drop the hammer. Now, I recognize that the American people are not in the mood for that right now. We already dealt with 9/11. We already got the Afghanistan thing chilled out. We don't want it to widen. We want to, and you know what's going on now is a Stockholm syndrome. Everybody feels hostage, they feel like they've been taken hostage by this situation. So whatever's going to chill it out, they're all in favor of, which means if it means, you know, making the Israelis the bad guy and the Palestinians are really cool, then everybody's going to jump on the bandwagon and be big-time Palestinian boosters. Yeah, right. Yeah, I get it. And what they're doing is just so solid, man. They got little kids, three-year-old kids, that they're posing in front of cameras with, like, homemade, like, made mock bombs strapped around them. Like, the father is saying, here's my four-year-old daughter. Go ahead and pitch her right into the melee. Hey, Dad, why don't you do it? Well, you got a paycheck to bring home? So this guy says in his videotape, and then the other thing he said, that America is wearing a dress that doesn't fit her. Now that I take as a personal insult. A dress? America's wearing a dress. The whole thing about Arab, or Arabic, or Arab talk, or Arab speak. You know what? Everything there is, there's a feminine lilt to it. We put on a skirt that we don't deserve. Something. You know what? I'm so glad this guy was on 93. And this tape that they released, it's 6 months or 7 months or 8 months apparently after it was actually recorded. They keep leaking these things out because they don't have anything new. I think what Bin Laden did is he made a whole bunch of tapes and then he just went underground. You know, it's like a video release. I don't know. It's like an album. Okay, here comes the next single. This is one from Bin when he was still living over there. You know, he wasn't underground yet. He still had most of his hair. This guy, Bin Laden, is dead. You want to know why I think he's dead? Because if ever they needed a videotape of him alive, right now is the time that they could really use a little propaganda boost, and they got nothing. I think the guy is dead. I think they've released this weak-ass stuff because they want to kind of get the ball rolling a little bit because there ain't nobody over there that's getting anything done for their side. So they want to get the ball rolling a little bit. Pisses off. As far as I'm concerned, I've been pissed since September 11th, okay? Maybe September the 12th when it really kicked in. I didn't need anything more. So we went over, we did the thing in Afghanistan. Now you got this thing going on in the Middle East between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and there are people talking about how we're going to chill it out. Well, there ain't no chilling that out. Now, you can load the gun today, you can do it tomorrow, you can wait a week, but sooner or later you're going to have to do it. Trust me. Those guys, whoever they are, Palestinians, Iraqis, Saudis, all those guys, sooner or later are going to have to be dealt with, and I mean with a big hammer. They ain't no friend of ours. Especially after that, we got to put on a dress crack. Maybe a Sulu, maybe a kilt, no dress. And I ain't wearing no tablecloth. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. This is the really funny Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, there's stuff about filing your income taxes. I went 4 years without filing any income taxes, and I'm fine. Look at me. I'm fine. I'm healthy. I eat well. I get 3 squares a day. I feel good. I'm eating sensibly, and I take my vitamins. 4 years I didn't file my income taxes. That's right. The IRS finally caught up to me. It was $10,000 later, but I'm okay now. I had to pay on a time payment. What do you call it? Had to get a payment plan going. 4 years. See, when you're young, and when I say young, I mean anywhere from your 20s on up into your mid to late 30s, you don't file income tax. You forget. You forget. You just go from one box to the next. You move from one apartment to the next. Your taxes are somewhere in that box. Somebody vaguely told you once you should save receipts. What does that mean? I don't know. So you save everything. And then when you finally find some guy who's the brother of a friend of yours who does taxes, and he'll do yours for like half what he would charge other people, then you bring in a big grocery bag full of receipts, and you sit down and I'm here to do my taxes. Okay, do you have any write-offs? I don't know what. Write-off? What do you mean? Are you married? Are you not? What are these? These are receipts. What is this? Chart House, $3. What was that? It was a beer I bought a guy once. Well, get out of here with that, will you? What do you think you're going to do with that, huh? You're going to write off a beer that I bought my boss once. I'd do that. That was me. Go to H&R Block. Go to the local tax guy. And then finally, you just throw your hands up in frustration. You were living with your girlfriend. You move. You got thrown out. Where's my stuff? Oh, I got to get last year's returns. Then you find out about this thing called income averaging. Income averaging is a wonderful thing, which means you don't have to necessarily pay on the income you made this year. You can average your income over the last 3-4 years, something like that. Well, maybe you don't have to pay as many dollars in taxes that way. But you got it wrong, and this accountant that you hired, turns out your IRA isn't a write-off because you were with a company that had a retirement plan, and now you owe, and you get those nice envelopes from the IRS, Internal Revenue Service. And where we live in California is Fresno, California. Maybe you get them from Atlanta. I don't know where you get yours from. And we have detected an error, or however they put that, and we have recalculated, and you balance due, $1,300-some-odd, $568. You got to cut. And do you fight it? If you contest this, if you feel as if this is wrong, you can certainly contact your local IRS office, and please do it in writing within 30 days. And you're like, oh, forget it. I'll pay the $500. I don't know whether it's right or wrong. I don't know whether you guys are screwing me. The Internal Revenue Service, and I don't want to get a whole, believe me, I'm not going to have many patience with calls from people who got a bitch about the IRS. Because it's not them, and it isn't, it's not you, it's not us, it's not any of us. It's a system that we are enslaved to more than anything else. But they can make a lot of money simply by saying, why, we've calculated that you actually mispaid and you owe us another $700. If you care to contest this, and people go, well, forget it, man. I'll pay the $700. I bet you that's an extra $1 billion a year just in screwy stuff like that. Oh, I'll tell the story later, but it was a period of my life. There was like very, very recently, within the last 10 years, I went through this whole dance with my taxes. Here is Tom on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Good.
First of all, I want to say you got me stoked up about this business over there in the Middle East. That Osama bin Laden, if he wants to challenge an American, I'm a 41-year-old American male, 6'2", 215 pounds. I'll meet him anywhere.
Great. All right. You'll meet him anywhere you want. Yeah, great. Meet him in the Winn-Dixie parking lot. Here's Aaron on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil.
How you doing?
Yeah, I love your show, by the way. I listen to it all the time.
You listen to it all the time, but you don't like it would be an interesting comment, too. Hi, Phil. I listen to you all the time. Hate your show. Thanks.
Yeah. I hate your show, but I listen to it every night because I hate it so much. I just wanted to comment on, because I heard you talking about Israel.
Oh, yeah?
And the one thing I really don't get is that Arafat still condones or won't, won't say that these suicide bombings are bad, and yet they still allow him to be the leader. And that's one thing I just really don't get.
Who allows him to be the leader?
Well, you know, they talk about Sharon and how Sharon wants to remove Arafat.
Right, and he would. He'd put a bullet in him tomorrow.
Yeah.
But the repercussion on that would be so devastating. Basically, what everybody's worried about, if you're an Israeli, here's what you're worried about. America's guts to really back you up 100%. Do we have the guts to back Israel up?
I think we should.
And essentially, do we have the guts to do what inevitably we're going to have to do? Go to war with the whole Arab world.
That's what I think this is leading up to.
Well, we're going to have to do, because that's what they want. That's what they think we're afraid of. That's why Arafat can sit there in his compound and feel and be in high spirits, I think was the last word I heard from him. He's in such high spirits because another child has blown themselves to bits in the name of Palestinian home. He's feeling just fantastic about this. And they are banking 100% on what they believe is America's complete inability to face the music, and that is that we need to go to war with the Arab world. We do. We got to go to war with them. And they think we don't have the guts for it. And they can shake their fists and wag their fingers. And they can talk about turning all of our mothers and wives into widows and weeping mothers. And they're going to bring the battle to us, and they're going to bleed us dry. And guess what, America? You haven't got the balls for any big, long, drawn-out war. So we can do whatever we want, and we can get whatever we want. And Israel is going down. And they're banking on this. Look, do you think the American people want to go to war over Israel? We'll sell them down the river. We'll let Israel basically be liquidated so that we can keep our nice, quiet, peaceful life over here and drive our big, fat SUVs fueled by Saudi oil. I mean, is Israel worth it? All it is a bunch of Jews. Why are we going to war for Israel anyway? I hear people say that. Well, what's the story with them? This is a bunch of Jews. Well, never mind the fact that this is a country that was set up in the exhaust of the horror, the gas exhaust of the Holocaust. America put its might and its moral right behind that country. Here's a country that's a democracy. I mean, I thought we believed in that. And there used to be a time, a long time ago, when America went to the mat for fellow democracies, other countries that shared our values. Well, the Arabs have got us sussed out to this point. At least they think they do. We aren't going to go to war for just anybody. We will go to war for our oil, but are we going to go to war for a bunch of Israelis? And I hear it more and more in this country. Is it really worth it? And you look at the French and you look at the Germans and all the typical European reaction. Oh, they are a bunch of Israelis and they're a bunch of bastards that are pounding these poor Palestinians and they are oppressing them and they are, I mean, it's just like the Holocaust, which is the biggest lie. And I mean, anybody that would say that is an ignoramus with not an infinitesimal understanding of history. And this supposed oppression of the Palestinian people, this is coming from Palestinian sources. This is not coming from any real objective source. These are Palestinians and Arabs who are skilled in the art of propaganda, every bit as much as we are, and they know how to lie just as much as we do. And they know how to turn a phrase, and they know how to turn the propaganda around. All they got to do is use the Holocaust. Use words like crusade. Use words like Americans are soft because we watch too many Westerns. These are people who don't know a hell of a lot about our culture, but they do know how to piss us off with their words. That we're soft, that we're weak, that we're cowards, that the minute our children die in a war, the minute our soldiers come back in a body bag, the minute our oil is threatened, we'll turn into the cowering, weak America that they've all known. We'll sell Israel down the road, and we'll get back into line as a client state of OPEC. And we'll let the 3 million Israelis that live there self-immolate, be overrun by the Arab world. You know, and basically, you want to talk about suicide bombers. Let me tell you something. If Israel is ever in a jeopardy of being overrun, you get 3 million suicide bombers. They won't let it happen. They won't leave anything. There'll be nothing left standing if the Arab world threatens to overrun Israel. They will leave nothing. The Israelis, I'm talking about now, the citizens of that country will leave nothing. It'll be a scorched earth. They already went through the Holocaust once. So this country is basically viewed by the Arab world as a country that hasn't got the guts for that kind of a fight. Go over to Afghanistan, neutralize a few al-Qaeda. Big wow. What's the big deal? Knock down a couple of these pansies that Saddam Hussein trains, these Revolutionary Guard. No big thing. But if it means going to war with a whole Arab world over Israel, they're banking on this. We haven't got the balls. Who knows, man? Maybe they're right. I think that we have to put the gun to their head, cock it, and tell them we're gonna pull a trigger and be willing to pull a trigger. That's what I think. But then I'm just a big fat mouth on the radio, just like I told the guy in Birmingham this morning. I was talking to Kevin Miller, WERC. He said, should anybody really take the Phil Hendry Show seriously? I said, no. He said, what's the reason to listen to the Phil Hendry Show? I said, I got no idea. I know my reason for doing it. It's a paycheck. But the reason to listen to it? Whatever. He said, well, it's a great show, and we love it down here in Birmingham. I said, well, great, thank you. Thank you very much. Glad you're listening. It's all a bunch of poo. Thank you very much, and then I hung up. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
All right, here we go. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. And beneath this snowy mountain, cold and clean, the unborn grass lies waiting for its coat to turn to green. The snowbird sings the song he always sings, and speaks to me of flowers that will bloom again in spring. When I was young, my heart was young then too. Anything it would tell me, that's the thing that I would do. Spread for any man that came along.
Wait a minute. Whoa.
What?
That's not the lyrics to that. You know, it's one thing you can sing it flat if you want to, but...
What did I do wrong?
Spread for any man that comes along.
Oh, my God, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's not it.
I'm sorry, I misread it.
Is that it?
Yes.
Well, whatever
right,
the lyrics sheet is that you got.
I just think that, Phil, I would really rather not hear that. And for 3 days now, I've been listening to me misstate that lyric.
Margaret, I played that because you asked me to play that.
Yes, I did. But not so I could be ridiculed.
Well, look, you're the one who sang the lyric, spread for any man that comes along.
The reason why I sang that, I was confused. Spread your tiny wings and fly away. And I was...
How do you get confused between spread your tiny wings and fly away and spread for any man that comes along?
I think it's an honest mistake. And I...
Oh, yes, it's a very honest mistake. All right, well, look, I played it. You wanted to hear it. I don't know why you'd want to hear it to be re-humiliated. But the fact of the matter is, now do you understand?
No, I really don't. I need to hear it again.
What, to what?
I can't believe I did that.
Here it is.
Here we go. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. And beneath this snowy mountain, cold and clean. That's right. That's right. The unborn grass lies waiting for its coat to turn to green.
Oh, God, yes.
The snowbird sings the song he always sings.
I'm trying to find the note there.
Yeah, great.
Bloom again in spring. When I was young, my heart was young then, too. Anything it would tell me, that's the thing that I would do. Spread for any man that came along.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Okay, do you see that? That's... Spread for any man that comes along. That's, you sang it. There it is.
I don't know why I did that. Who wrote the lyric sheet up?
Janice did.
Well, the little slut. In other words...
Wait a second. Who are you calling a slut? That's my producer.
Well, I didn't sing that still because I wanted to. Someone wrote it. I was in the moment. I was
following the rhythm of the song. And when you're in the moment, you don't necessarily pay attention to the lyrics. You just read what's written there. Beneath the snowy mantle, da-da-da, boo-da-da-da-da-da-da. You see what I'm saying?
So that, well, you did, sure didn't sing it like that the other day, so, you know, what do you mean you're in the moment?
Spread for any man that comes along. See, I was trying to find...
Oh, bug off. Trying to find the note. Trying to find the note. Look, if you sing, you know, either pick a key, Margaret. Any key will do. Jeez. Utah, or Russell. Is this Utah and you're in Russell, or it's Russell? Oh, it's Russell in Utah. Go ahead.
It's Russell. Hey, how's it going, Phil?
Fine.
Hey, man, I just had something to say about that Middle East thing.
Really?
We go over there, you know, we have this tragedy happen, and we go over there and we say all this stuff, right?
Right.
So now we take care of our problem, but we're talking about, okay, we're going to fight terror and we're going to go until it's done. But now Israel's got this problem. We're just kind of standing around trying to make peace and not really doing anything.
That about sums it up, Russell. Thanks very
much.
All right, here we go. One, two,
what the hell,
one, two, three. And beneath this snowy mantle, cold and clean, the unborn grass lies waiting for its coat to turn to green. The snowbird sings the song he always sings and speaks to me of flowers that will bloom again in spring. When I was young, my heart was young then too. Anything it would tell me, that's the thing that I would do. Spread for any man that came along.
Wait a minute. Whoa.
What?
That's not the lyrics to that. You know, it's one thing you can sing it flat if you want to, but...
What did I do wrong?
Spread for any man that comes along.
Oh, my God, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's not it.
I'm sorry, I misread it.
Well, whatever the lyric sheet is that you've got there, make sure that you've got the right lyrics.
Phil, how many times do you want me to hear I'm sorry? I think it's boring for the audience. Let me go on.
Go ahead.
Ted, wherever you are, this is for you, darling. 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3. Beneath the snowy mantle, cold and clean, the unborn grass lies waiting for its coat to turn to green. The snowbird sings the song he always sings and speaks to me of flowers that will bloom again in spring. I hear voices when I'm in the bathroom. I think it's coming from a transmitter shoved in my back teeth.
Misread the lyric sheet, all right. You know where that comes from, by the way? Transmitters shoved in my back teeth. See, a lot of schizophrenics believe the government has planted chips in their teeth that's broadcasting to them. It's a very tragic hallucination, but a hallucination nonetheless. And when I worked in upstate New York, I used to work in Utica, New York, at a little tiny radio station. I worked with a disc jockey up there who was schizophrenic. And he thought that the government had planted transmitters in the tea bags he was using. He'd hear voices, and then I said, Barney, the radio's on. He goes, oh, okay. And then they went away. Anyway, I didn't really, but he was cuckoo. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
All right, here we go. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, and beating.